again, that was brought to our attention this morning, very much in keeping with what's on our heart. We go back to Matthew chapter 6. Last week, we began taking another look at the model prayer that Jesus gave us. When he said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." How we, on a regular basis, and as we've already been admonished this morning and taught from the scriptures, that it's important for us to remember the Lord and to be mindful of the choices that we're making. So hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, and as we said last week, thy kingdom come. What are we talking about there? Well, as Brother Kenneth mentioned, that Jesus set up the church kingdom. He set that up, and if you question that, then go to John chapter 17, when Jesus, as our high priest, is praying to the Father just before he goes to the cross, and he says, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Well, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he had finished setting up the church. Right. He called his apostles. And he's going to empower them on the day of Pentecost, but it was all in place. All right, so he said, "I've finished the work." Why are we asking, "Thy kingdom come"? Because we need a greater manifestation of the kingdom and people who are looking to the king for all their decisions. We need that. And that's a great deal of what Brother Kenneth has been teaching us this morning, was the need to make those choices in a way that's pleasing, that shows to the world that we're acknowledging God, that we're following God, that we want to please God, and we'll be blessed for it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm going to take another few seconds here. With last week's message, thy will be done. Who's going to stop God from doing his will? Nobody. Well, do you always do his will? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I need to change my answer. Do you always do God's will? Well, you're God's people. If God's people don't always do God's will, we got to think about, what does that mean for God's will to be done? It means we make the right choices. It means we follow the right pathway. It means we look to him for the wisdom that we need to make those right choices and to be found doing that which is pleasing in his sight, so that his will be done. Don't you know we need that desperately in our world today? That's what we need. That's what the church needs to be manifesting in this world. And by the way, I'll touch for a second on that attendance thing. It is important. We are living in a world today that is all about me. And I mean good folks. They think, "I can worship God by myself. I can worship God the way I want to. It's all about me." You know, I hear people that they for all I know, they're living a lot closer to the Lord than I am. But they don't have any use for the church. They want to be their own leader. They want to be their own, you know, they want to talk about the things they want to talk about. That flies in the face of what Jesus did when he came. He came to save his church. He came to love his church. He came to call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he called us to be a body. And he called us to come together and worship him. It is important. Yes, we can please the Lord in our walk out individually. But there is a necessity for the church to function as the church, as the Lord set it up. All right, now our text, Matthew 6, verse 11. It's probably all I'm going to deal with today. Verse 11. After he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth, not just on earth. And here's the difference. This is a tabernacle of clay. God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And if we, thy will be done in earth, if his will is done better in this earth, it'll be done better on earth. There'll be a greater manifestation of his will being done on earth when it's done in earth. You got it? There's a difference. So many people want to just discard that. Oh, it doesn't matter whether you say in earth or on earth. No, it's in earth. That's what the Word of God says. And when it's done in earth, then it'll be better manifested on earth. It is important. All right. If it's not done in earth, it won't be on earth. Okay, I'll leave that alone. All right. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. How important is that? You sure? You're not just saying that because that's what I want you to hear. I want to hear. You know, it's kind of like the youth group, and the youth pastor was working with the kids one time, and the youth pastor said, you know, what has a bushy tail and four legs and runs around gathering up nuts? And one little kid eagerly raised his hand and says, I know that sounds like a squirrel, but you want me to say Jesus. Didn't you see that? How important. Give us this day our daily bread. How important. Let me tell you this. It was bad eating. A bad choice of partaking of something that brought sin into the world. A bad choice of what to eat brought sin into the world. You ever thought about that? What Adam and Eve partook of is the very thing God said don't do. The very thing. Well, if I'd have been there, I would have. I'd have been just like them. Because we are just like them. We're human. We have a fallen nature about us. Thankfully, we have a new nature in us. Thankfully, we've been blessed to know better. And when we're doing like we should, we're choosing to do better. Do you remember Isaiah chapter 1? He said, cease from your evil ways and learn to do well. Why did he say, learn your evil ways? Well, because that just kind of pops out of us. It's a reflection of this old fallen nature that we carry around with us all the time. So we have to come out from among that. We have to cease from our evil ways and learn to do well. That's a choice. We have to partake. We have to eat that which is good, so that it will have a good influence upon us. Now this verse of scripture is not very long, but there's two powerful points in this. Give us this day our daily bread. That's something that we need to ask for. All right? In other words, we're to seek the Lord. Because it's what the Lord chooses to give us that is what's going to nourish us that day. Spiritually speaking. You know, we have a principle in the Word of God that... And by the way, when this country was founded... In some of the early colonies, they practiced that principle. If a man wouldn't eat, if a man wouldn't work, neither should he eat. Oh, that's so hard-hearted. You need to be more liberal than that. It is a good principle. It has served us well for a long time. It's God's word, by the way. It's in the Bible, Corinthians. It's there. If a man should not work, neither should he eat. All right? I'm sorry, Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. There's something similar in Corinthians, obviously, but 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if a man would not work, neither should he eat. Paul to the Roman church. In Romans, he says, Romans 12, not slothful in business. In other words, let's take care of business. Do what we're supposed to do. Okay? Paul to Timothy, in his writings to Timothy, he tells him that a man that will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. You know, if he will not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, is worse than an infidel. So that principle is alive and well, isn't it? Now, we're not talking about earning God's grace. We're simply saying that once he has blessed us to understand who he is, then we need to be making the kind of choices that would be pleasing unto him. And when we take care of our families like we should, that's pleasing to the Lord. And do you remember, by the way, that God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife? Oh, my goodness. Isn't that radical? God planted a garden, and he told him to dress it and keep it. And that was before he created Eve. My goodness. Isn't that so old-fashioned? But it's what served us well. God's word will serve us well if we take heed to it, if we read it, learn it, apply it. There'll be good fruit that comes from it. All right, give us this. So first of all, the first main point is that we need to be asking God for what we need. All right, that means we're not making our own choice. We're not trying to be our own God. We're not putting me first. We're saying, Lord, I'm looking to you for my daily bread. And he chooses the menu. Well, I don't know about that. Really? You'd rather do it yourself than trust God? Think about it. Give us this day our daily bread. So not only are we looking to him and asking him, but we're asking him what he will provide. All right? And it's daily bread. Okay? And so if you need strength, if you need bread for strength for your day, then when you need to do the asking? At the end of the day? No. Makes sense that we'd start out with a priority of looking to God and asking him for the direction and for whatever we stand in need of. It's daily bread. We need it every day, don't we? You know, and we're trusting him to provide whatever it is that we need for that day. See, God knows what we're going to need. We don't. So when we're talking about asking him for bread, let's make sure we make that mental that leap there. When we're talking about daily bread, we're talking about something that we receive. Okay, so we partake of it, just like you would the food that you eat. You take it and you receive it. You take it into your body. You likely, unless it's liquid already, you're likely going to have to chew it up. All right. You got to get it to the form where you can digest it. That's understanding. That equates to understanding. And then hopefully you'll take whatever you receive from that and use it. Okay? So you see, there's a very strong parallel, very strong lesson there between natural eating and taking in of God's word. Okay? So give us this day our daily bread. Matthew records this. Luke records this. Matthew says, give us this day our daily bread. Luke says, give us day by day our daily bread. Both of them say your daily bread. So the point is clear. We need it every day. We need something from the Lord every day. And so Luke puts the emphasis upon the daily bread that we need. Did I say Luke? Matthew puts the emphasis on what we need each day. But Luke brings the idea that it's something that we need day by day. All right? Yes, it's daily, but I mean every day. Day by day. There's not a day that goes by that you don't need the Lord. And so whatever it is that the Lord would have us to have, then we find that we need to be asking him for it. All right? Now, Brother Kenneth covered several things that I intended to say, so let me branch off into some other things. We have the principle in this model prayer that Jesus is teaching us that every day we live, we need to be asking God for our daily bread. Well, he enlarges a little bit upon that asking over in chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. That's easy to remember, isn't it? 7:7. All right? Ask. Didn't he tell us to ask? All right? So, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Well, let me see. One of the things that Brother Kenneth mentioned was, blessed are they which do hunger. It's the fourth beatitude, by the way. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He didn't say T-bone steak. He didn't say other things. We're talking righteousness. The promise applies to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And if we are hungering and thirsting for righteousness when we come to church, we'll get it. The promise is yours. All right? There may be something you need that the preacher doesn't even mention, but the Holy Spirit will take that verse of Scripture and bring it to your understanding, and there may be something that comes to your mind by the Spirit that will feed your soul that the preacher wasn't even thinking about. That's the glory of how God has set up the church and how his people should be feeding from the gospel and from the word of God so that we could be strengthened so that when we leave this place, we're better equipped to serve. Amen. If we're not feeding on the word of God, we are not equipped to serve. Period. Okay? So it's important. It's desperately important. And Brother Kenneth was talking about the things that he was talking about, and he emphasized the importance of it. And it is. What are the things that when our appetite starts cooling off for the Word of God, then we start placing less importance on the things that God has told us to do? You see, what he's told us to do, that's the Word of God. And so we start placing less importance upon it. Less appetite. Less importance. We become weaker in the things of righteousness. It's all connected. It's all reflected. Okay? So when we think about chapter 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you. I understand that applies more than just what the Beatitude addressed. Because he knows our needs even before we ask. All right? And so if we're praying and we're praying in the Spirit will lead us to ask for those things which are pleasing to the Lord. So he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Then he goes on saying, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In other words, if we are coming to God and humbly asking for the things that we need, and we keep asking, we're seeking, we're knocking,
We're going to God for it.
And if we're going with the right spirit, the right attitude, and the right hunger and desire for it, then he will bless us with what we need. All right? He'll answer that. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Then he gives us a practical illustration of this. When he says, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Would you do that to your child? I don't believe there's a single person here that if your child asks you for bread, that you'd give them a stone. Something they can't eat, something has no nutritional value, something that just totally inappropriate, right? And totally unfeeling from the person offering that substitute, all right? See, God is so much better than we are, and that's the point he's driving to here, that if he asked for bread, would you give him a stone, all right? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Do you give him something that's going to hurt them? No. Well, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and you do, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? You see, that should remove all hesitation of coming to God and asking him for the things we need, because he knows so much better. He loves us so much more, and he has so much more wisdom that he will give us what we need. All right? And then I want you to notice one more verse. Notice where that principle takes us. That we're going to look to God, we're going to trust him for what we need, because we know that he knows better than we do. Where that leads us is verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, recognize this? I think we call it the golden rule. You know, I'm afraid that there's a lot of the way that the golden rule is practiced in Caesar's kingdom is that he that has the gold makes the rules. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the kingdom of God. All right? And so he says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. All right? For this is the law and the prophets. Wow. That just really brings it down, doesn't it? This is the law and the prophets. All right? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, Kenneth touched on the fact that if we leave off this daily bread, this spiritual, this the Word of God, that we might for a while get hungry and need to come back, but if you leave it off too long, you're going to lose the appetite. So let's just take for just a few moments as I close out. By the way, I didn't, you know, if I go past 12, it's not going to be over an hour. Your natural child, a person, any person, what you eat is important, isn't it? If you eat junk food all the time, if you eat sugar all the time, it's not going to be good. Not going to be healthy, right? All right, so we understand that lesson. Well, sugar-coated preaching all the time is not going to do well either. All right? So, but what happens if a person leaves off the food that they need? They get weaker, don't they? They're not as healthy. All right? We see, we know, we understand that natural progression. Well, the same thing applies to the kingdom of God. We need the Word of God. It sends me ballistic, by the way, these days, when I read something where it's Bible, but it's kind of, it doesn't say it's Bible. It makes it sound like it came from somewhere else instead of the Bible. Have we come to that place where we got to make it sound like it's not the Bible for somebody to read it or hear it? We need to acknowledge God's Word. You know, there's other philosophies that have good principles. One of my Facebook friends posted something the other day, and it was ascribed to one of the other religions and a principle out of their religion. Well, it was, I gave them the book, chapter, and verse where the Lord said it. All right? He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that inspired the Word. So if it's truth, if you're finding truth in some other, it's already touched on in the Word of God. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Because the Word of God is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. If it's going to be good for us to make use of, if it's good for us to partake of it, then you'll find it somewhere in the Word of God. All right? So we need that to be strong. Because what happens when, what kind of a witness to the world is a weak church? What kind of a witness are we out in the world when we're weak in the faith? When we haven't been nourishing ourselves on the Word of God? And I'll give you a clue here. I'll give you something that it's amazing. When you study the principles of God, and you know, it's kind of hard to keep it all in the forefront of your mind, isn't it? I mean, you read over here you might not be paying much attention to something you read last week. But what I have found over the 30-something years that I've been preaching is that when you stay in the Word and you're reading God's Word, all of it that you know will stay with you better. It's amazing. It's because it's one unified body of truth. Okay, and so when you read a verse of Scripture, it's just one small part of the truth. And so as long as you keep your nose in the book and keep the Word in front of your face and reading and partaking of it on a regular basis, then it'll stay with you better. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It can happen in church. It can happen in your private reading at home. It can happen as you're driving and listening to the Word or whatever. Wherever it is that you can partake of the Word of God, and in whatever form, it'll be a blessing to you. Now, are we always in the frame of mind to be receiving and taking it in? No, we heard that already. But I believe it's good to be exposed to it anyway. Just keep it going. Because it's so easy. The old devil, the thing that he would want to do the most is keep you so busy, you won't take time for the Word of God. And that's the devil working on us. Flesh is weak, but the old devil creates opportunities and we find in Scripture, when did the devil come to Jesus? To tempt him. When he was very weak. You know, he was a man. Now, he was verily God, but he was a man. And he had to eat for his strength and all that. And we understand there was a time when he hadn't eaten and he was at that woman, the well. And he met the woman at the well. But his disciples had urged him to eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And I'll tell you something, when you're doing something for someone else, when you're ministering to someone else, when you're doing things that are a blessing to someone else, there may be times when you don't eat like you should or on schedule as you should. But if you're doing something that's pleasing to the Lord, He will continue to give you the strength and the motivation to continue to do what you need to do. He's just that good. And so give us this day our daily bread. We need it. We need it so that we can show to the world that we're children of God, not children of the world. That we're letting that light shine. You know, Brother Kenneth did a wonderful illustration of how that light's not ours. It comes from God. But you know what happened to Moses when he was up on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights? This natural man, the glory of God has an effect upon him. Remember that? His face was glowing. And it bothered the people. And so he put a veil over his face because it was glowing so. You know, you can see in the life of somebody when they're spending a lot of time with the Lord, it shows. And the other is true too. When we're not spending a lot of time with the Lord, it shows. Give us this day our monthly allowance. Are we going to read enough today to carry us through the whole week? Give us this day our daily bread. I cannot emphasize that enough. All I could do is say, try me. Prove it. You'll be blessed for it. I don't know how else to say it. I think I've labored the point this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. It's what He will choose what we need. He can take whatever we read and bless it to our understanding and provide what we need. I understand sometimes we open the Bible and we go to read something that we want to read. But you know, one of the blessings of that daily reading schedule and trying to make it all the way through the Bible in 1 year is you encounter things you would never have read without going verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. You would never have found that. And there'll be times when you'll read something and you'll scratch your head and say, why in the world did God put that in His book? But somewhere along the line, you may realize, oh, that's why He put it there. Because we're like that. Because we could be guilty of that sometimes. We need that forgiveness. We need that. And so you're so much better equipped when you understand better what the Lord has given to us in His Word to feed our souls and help us on a daily basis. It's good for us. It's wholesome. You talk about wholesome food. You know, nowadays it's important for us to give some thought to the kind of things that we're eating and where we're buying it, where we're getting it from. Tell you my lettuce story someday. But it's important. I'm telling you something. It's important what we're taking into our mind and in our heart. And beyond just the Bible, I wholeheartedly recommend the King James. Some people think it's old-fashioned. But I'm going to tell you, think about how many years this world made, that was the major source, and how much good was imposed upon this world because they were looking to the true Word of God in English. I've been checking into that. I'm not an authority on a lot of the things, but for my own personal satisfaction, I've read a lot of things, I've checked into a lot of things, and every time I come away being more satisfied with the King James than anything else. I encourage you to do your own search. If you don't think it's that important, then start looking at the differences. We need to be eating what's good and wholesome. And Paul told Timothy and Titus, these are wholesome words. In other words, they'll provide good health. They'll strengthen you. They'll be good words that will feed your soul. And I'm going to tell you something. A well-fed soul on the Word of God can handle a lot more trouble and trials in this life than just a well-fed body. When our soul is fed, we can handle life a whole lot better. And we'll live life a whole lot better. And our friends and our families will appreciate it. And you'll be blessed. May God bless you. That's our prayer.